never rests. What a time to be alive on Georgia Alabama week. And we have officially turned the page there. It's the Georgia Show presented to you by Dogs HQ. I'm Jake Roos, Jake Rowe, and Rusty Mansell hanging out with you tonight. The boys are back in town, and we got a big one on the way on Saturday. No question about it. It is the one I think everybody's been waiting for. And by the way, we've got a lot of people already checking in. Fort O in the house, Forsyth, Georgia, Salt Springs, Florida, Sylvester, Georgia. Love to see you guys. Thank you so much for checking us out and hanging out with us on your Sunday evening. We so appreciate that. Guys, like I said, this is a big one, and we're celebrating at Redstone this weekend. You can come out, hang out with the Dogs HQ crew. Rusty and Jake be on site at Redstone. 10:30, we will go live from Redstone. Jake, you can go out and watch Jake fight the tent.
Got my hat ready, everything. I'm ready to roll.
Oh, is that the big hat?
That's the big hat, man. I'm ready
to roll. You got with Brian Robinson. He knows a guy who makes big hats. Yeah. Come see us out at Redstone, though, this weekend. Be a great time, man. Get all your tailgating taken care of. Great food, pre-made food, something for the grill if you need to throw that on when you get into town. Cold beverages, they got those too, man. You get you covered on all things. And look, mix in a water on Saturday. It's a long day. Pace yourself. You're going to want to get out and hang out with Redstone. Also, too, speaking of upcoming events, Whataburger coming to town for Georgia, Kentucky. You can get in and hang out with the Whataburger food truck. They do a tremendous burger. And if you've seen the lines anytime that a Whataburger goes in, you know. All right. So get over, mark it down. That's Kentucky weekend. We got something for you almost every weekend, man. It's going to be a really, really busy couple of weeks here for the Georgia Bulldogs and for Dogs HQ. So a lot of chances to hang out with us. Come chill, man. Have a good time. Boys, look, let's dive right in. Like I said, the page has been turned. Bye week is over. Game week is here. Georgia hosting Alabama for the first time in 10 years in Sanford Stadium. A much anticipated game for many, many, many reasons. And that probably starts with the fact that Georgia would love to get the monkey off of the back that has been Alabama to this point. Rusty, let's just dive in on it early on, man. How you feeling about this matchup for the Georgia Bulldogs as it stands today?
Well, I mean, they got a great opportunity to win this game. You know, obviously, this is a game I haven't shied away from it. You know, this is a game that Georgia needs to win. They need to win this one to kind of get some momentum in that series. Now, the last 10 games, Georgia's 1-9 against Alabama. So that tells you how, you know, which way this series has went. You can talk about some of the tough losses. You can talk about second 26. You can talk about last year. You can talk about SEC championship and the Tyler Simmons call. You can talk about all those things. But the reality is they're 1-9 the last 10 games. And it's something that, you know, it's a prideful game, and it's a great opportunity for Georgia. We're going to dig in this thing all week, but I think having them at home in Athens, you know, bye week, you know, kind of where this early – I said this last 2 weeks ago. We're going to kind of know where Georgia is at the end of September. Got some really good questions answered at Knoxville. Opened up a few more questions in Knoxville. But, you know, you come out there with a win, and we'll see if Georgia can go undefeated in September, which would be a huge deal to start what I would think the middle part of the season.
Absolutely. Jake Rowe, it's Sunday. Alabama's headed to town this weekend. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, man, this is kind of one of the things when, you know, you do a radio show out of Arkansas in the off season, or you do one out in Oklahoma or something, you know, somebody just hits you up on Twitter and is like, hey, can you come on XM, something like that. Like, everybody's like, well, hey, Alabama's the boogeyman. Georgia's 1-6 against Alabama. This is the one thing I keep bringing up every single time is that, hey, 7 tries, not one in Athens, right? Like, not one single game in Athens in the past 7 tries. So, you know, playing at home is a big deal. All right. And I think we all understand 7:30. Look at the background right here on our last YouTube show here. If you've never seen it, if you're just a listener, it's kind of what's going to be on tap. Now, granted, it didn't do a whole lot for Georgia on Friday night last year, Black Friday, to get off to a fast start against Georgia Tech. But more often than not, these big games, these huge games that kick off after dark in Athens, or really just huge games that kick off in Athens, period. Go back to the 2022 Tennessee game. Fans show up to play, and it's tough. It is very tough to play on the road. And, you know, Georgia gets that kind of home field advantage here where it hasn't had that against Alabama. And, you know, you and I, you know, we do a radio show oftentimes on Sunday nights before we come on here and we do this, and mainly speaking to Middle and South Georgia folks when we do that. But you and I talked about it a while ago, you know, just in terms of this rivalry, you know, is this a Kirby Smart thing? You know, is Alabama in Kirby's head or is Alabama in Georgia's head? And I really believe Alabama's in Georgia's head. And kind of the way you can maybe get them out of your head is to get them into your place where you've got, you know, the 90,000, I don't know how many away tickets they get, Rusty. You remember kind of what the number is on how many away tickets Alabama will get for this?
I think they'll get about 9,000. That's banned.
Is it that high? I wasn't even sure.
About 7 or 9. It's just typical. Whatever, yeah. Whatever Georgia's got over there the last couple of trips, you know, that's always funny. When Alabama went and played, or Texas came to play Alabama, Alabama put their band in the top of the stadium. So when Alabama went out there, they put their band. So you won't see any of that. You know, this is Georgia be treated the way they were treated last year, and Alabama will be treated the same way. I think it's around 8,000 or 9,000. I think it's somewhere in that neighborhood.
So roughly, in the neighborhood of about 85,000 Georgia fans in the stand, between 80,000 and 85,000. You know, red and black as opposed to crimson and white. So That's how you get it done. You know, that's kind of how you change the dynamic of something. And I'm interested to see if Georgia can actually play clean football, start fast, and do all the things it needs to do to actually get the kind of tilt it back in their favor a little bit, maybe get that national perception back into thing that, hey, Georgia's won 2 out of the last 4 rather than 1 out of the previous 7.
Yeah, and fans are going to have plenty of time to prepare for this one. So I expect that it will be an exceptionally raucous crowd on Saturday night at kickoff. It's going to be fun to see for sure. Rusty, what's kind of, I guess, the main thing that you think Georgia has to do? You know, I'm sure that we'll come up with more over the course of the week. We'll continue to evaluate this game from all the angles. But what's Georgia got to do in this one to put themselves in the best position to pull out the W?
We that's a pretty broad one there. I have a hard time not starting with DBs. I looked into Alabama a good bit today, and they go by, you know, 4 wide receivers basically. And you look at Ryan Williams, who has 10 catches, 195, 2 touchdowns. You look at Jeremy Bernard, he's 15 catches for 275. He's their guy. You know, he's got 3 touchdowns. Isaiah Horton and Latsier Brooks. And after that, it's kind of a drop-off. But I do think, you know, they're 4 deep at wide receiver. They got a better wide receiver group than Tennessee does. Now, it's a little bit different offense. They're going to be a little bit more pro style, but they're going to take shots at DBs. And, you know, Georgia's going to have to make a play or two there. You can't get bombed on in this game like this. And certainly you know they're going to take shots one-on-one. You just got to be there and you got to make the play. And if you do it a couple of times, that's the difference in this. They throw a couple of those deep balls and one gets picked or both of them get knocked down. You don't go to the well too much because those are, you know, not great odds on those kind of plays. So it'll be interesting to see. Also, I think Jake hit a good point about Alabama not playing in Athens. I mean, it's ironic. 6 years ago today, which is crazy, Notre Dame played in Athens. I still remember that like it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
6 years, boys. That's how fast time went. But that place was electric that night, and it was rowdy from the time they got in that stadium to the time it was over with. It was loud, and I expect Sanford Stadium Saturday night to be you know, it's tough to play on the road. And these fans, specifically this team, this game, I expect Samford to be rocking.
Jake, you mentioned on the radio when we were talking earlier today that the key, one of the keys in your mind was coming out and getting off to a fast start for the Georgia Bulldogs. How crucial is that in terms of keeping the crowd in this thing, man? Because I could see a lot of people going, woe is me, if Alabama comes out and is able to kind of move down the field in even a similar way to what Tennessee did last week.
You know, here's the thing about that. I saw last year's Alabama game. I saw the Georgia Tech game. I saw the Tennessee game. That doesn't worry me about Georgia getting knocked out of the football game because, you know, Ole Miss was able to kind of keep Georgia at bay in Oxford last year, but it wasn't for lack of trying or effort or opportunities. Georgia just couldn't quite make the play to get themselves back in it. That comeback last year at Alabama was incredible. I mean, 28-0, you actually come back and I take, what was it, a 34-33 lead with just a couple, you know, with like a couple minutes left, and then Alabama gets it all back in one fell swoop. Tennessee this past year, so many different opportunities last year when you kind of look at Georgia digging themselves a hole. I just think that if you get – Georgia's gotten off to fast starts against Alabama before, 2017, 2018, 2020, 2021 SEC championship game, 2023 SEC championship game. I think bloody in Alabama's nose early means a lot more when you play at home. Because sure. Then that crowd gets really now I say that to say Alabama jumped out 28-0 last year, almost, you know, got out to too big of a lead and relaxed a little bit on Georgia. But I think if Georgia can get out to that kind of start in this game, it will benefit them a lot more than it did in those previous games. Now, another thing you point to, too, first three opportunities, 2017, 2018, 2020, Alabama had the more talented roster. Like, just bar none, Alabama was the more talented football team in those games. But, you know, now, you know, I would say Georgia's got a little bit more talent. Georgia's favored right now by 4.5 by BetMGM. So, you know, I suspect that if Georgia can get off to a quick start, score on that opening drive, throw the first punch and land it, that'll really get the crowd into it, and then it'll cause some problems for Alabama at that point.
I'm with you. I think that could be crucial in this game. Like I said, keeping them in it, I could see that mentality from some people of like, oh boy, here it goes again. And it's so to me, that is, I agree completely. It's crucial to do that. And I agree with you, Rusty. I said that on the radio earlier. To me, it's about, I think CB2 is the guy that I'm watching most in this game. I think that, and I'm not, you know, if you go back and do the X's and O's like Jake Rowe did last week, you see that it wasn't all on Ellis Robinson or Daniel Harris at the end of the day. But I guarantee you Alabama's looking at that film and saying this is where we can maybe exploit some things.
Yeah, they're going to take shots. I mean, and again, they're four wide, I believe, and they're really top heavy with those two. And obviously what Ryan Williams did last year against Georgia, and, you know, kind of that was, you know, he had that game and he really hasn't, he's been, you know, he's been good, but that was like his, you know, that was his national game. People were telling him he was going to win the Heisman after that. And, you know, he's still a good player. You know, sometimes he hasn't put up all the, and he had a concussion, so he's out a little bit here and there, but, you know, they're going to take some shots with him and with whoever CB2 and who and safety. I mean,
yeah,
they're going to attack Georgia defensively. But, you know, I do think that in years past, Alabama had a better run game. They still got a good run game, but I don't think that would worry me as much as far as them passing and all that. You know, you see Ty Simpson, and they really struggled against Florida State, obviously, you know, but you look at his stats and he still has 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. So he hadn't turned the ball over. But you know, this is a different environment. No offense to Florida State, but what they're walking into Saturday night is large as it gets, and it will be a rowdy as you'll ever play in so far for sure.
Nobody benefits from a home crowd more than a defensive front, and Georgia needs to get as much as they possibly can out of that, both from stopping the run and rushing the passer. They, you know, because I don't anticipate Alabama. And honestly, if you were to really dig into it and figure out, and we're going to get into this in a minute, but if you really get in and you dig into kind of what Alabama's been able to do on the road, or not do on the road, it's been an inability to run the football. And so I don't see them rolling into Athens and winning this game if they can't really run the football.
That's fair. I think that's completely fair. And also, too, we will get into that on the next piece here. Sunheist.com, though, the place to go. Go load up with some nice shades for yourself. Tons of customization options, free shipping on orders over $65, and free returns. So try them on, see if you like them. I bet you will. And get yourself a pair of Sunheist today. You can build them in a number of different frames, different lenses, etc. Code DAWGSHQ20, DAWGSHQ20, 20% off your purchase. And that's not just the first time, that's every time. So get over and hang out with them. Also, it's Modelo season, as you are probably aware of this weekend. Again, get yourself a 12-pack of cold Modelos to get geared up for this game. Super refreshing, super light, easy drinking, and the official beer of the CFP. So go get yourself a Modelo for this weekend. How about them dogs? How about a Modelo? And MyPerfectFranchise.net, our friends Andy Ludicky and the team over there, we want to give a quick shout out to them as well. They do a great job. Look, if you're looking to change up your business life, your personal life, and get some more time for yourself running a business that you care about, get with MyPerfectFranchise.net. They've got a number of opportunities for you, and they are the experts in the field. Get with them. Their services 100% free to you. Nothing to lose. Andy Ludicky and MyPerfectFranchise.net, the team to connect with. All right. You mentioned, you kind of teased this one up for us, Ro. What to make of Bama's record away from home? Now, I also want to roll this in because there was a comment made up here. And I believe it was Coach Eggleston checked in, and he said, Alabama has no good wins. And I think that there's probably something to be said for that right now. Georgia owns the better win, certainly, and the Tennessee win. But this road issue seems to be a real thing for Kalen DeBoer. And I'm curious, Jake, your thoughts on why that is or what that is and how does that play into this? Can we really read into it for this weekend?
Well, I mean, you're talking seven games, 2-7, 2-5 on the road or away from Tuscaloosa. And I think if you're looking at true road games, it's 2-4. You know, they've lost at Florida State, which is, hey, Florida State's good. Tennessee was a pretty good team last year. So you lost there, but you also lost to Vanderbilt, who actually had a pretty good season, but I don't know how really good Vanderbilt was last year. And like, let's not get away from home field advantage at that place. It's not that great. Lost at a horrible Oklahoma team last year, like an Oklahoma team that was really bad. Michigan was depleted. They lost to them in the bowl game. Now, they also beat Wisconsin at Wisconsin, a little bit of a disappointing Wisconsin run here. So that is what it is. Got a pretty dang good win against LSU at LSU and just dominated them. But the one thing I think you kind of go back through and you look at those games was kind of some struggles to run the ball. Jalen Milroe couldn't get it going, and teams also ran the ball on them. So, you know, I think as elementary, Rusty, as that sounds, run the ball and stop the run. You got a good chance to beat Alabama. Who would have thought? So that's just kind of the way I look at it.
Yep. And, you know, I think Percy Johnson makes a comment kind of in that realm for me. It's just a mental thing. You know, Georgia's they need to get over this hump. You know what I mean? And I think it's you can, and these are big boy athletes, but at some point you got to win one of these. You got to fit, you know, and if Georgia can get by Alabama, I don't say they're set up for the rest of the year, but that's a big hurdle they kind of tuck away, and now you go to work on the rest of your schedule. But this is a game that they know they hear questions about. They're going to hear this thing all week. Kirby Smart's going to hear it all week. He's going to hear it Friday when he's on ESPN. He's going to hear it when SEC Nation. They're going to hear it, that record. To stop that, you have to win this game, and you have to get by this team and, you know, stopping the run and seeing if you can get home and see if you can let this crowd help you is a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's going to be huge. And like you said, Jake, that inability to run away from home has – been really crucial in this. And I don't know, is, you know, the same question that we're asking, I guess, about Kirby Smart, and is this like a mental thing for him with Alabama? I think you could probably quite fairly ask that question about Alabama playing away from home right now. Is there something kind of in their head about that experience. And I don't think you'd be real off base to suggest that there might be.
I want to read something off to you here real quick. Losing at Tennessee last year, 34 carries for 75 yards, Alabama. 30 carries for 70 yards at Oklahoma. 21 carries for 84 yards. You average a four a carry there, but you only got 84 yards on the ground against Vanderbilt. Then earlier this year against Florida State, 29 carries, 87 yards. They haven't reached 90 yards rushing in a true road game loss. It's under Kalen DeBoer. That's been a big reason, you know, why they haven't been able to get it going. And then you turn around, Oklahoma was able to find success against them on the ground. Diego Pavia kind of ran it around a little bit. Can Georgia kind of get Gunner moving in this game at home in that situation? But there's another thing kind of at play here too, and I don't want to make too much of it because obviously you're talking about Marshall and Austin Peay. Gunner's been significantly better away from Sanford Stadium in a very small sample size than he's actually been at Sanford Stadium. I mean, he was awesome at Tennessee. You know, he wasn't great in the Sugar Bowl against Notre Dame, but he was cutting it loose and playing kind of carefree, I thought, winning level football. Also, it seems like Gunner plays better when he was getting his teeth knocked in because he actually played better in the Sugar Bowl and against Tennessee than he did against those other teams when Georgia sorted its protection issues out. So there may be something oxymoronic about that, but I don't think there's as much to think about there with Gunner as there is when you're talking about an entire football team. And again, it goes back to that defensive front, and you know, the biggest beneficiary of playing at home is that defensive front, because you get that offensive line has to turn its head inside, look at a snap count. You're not able to hear any kind of, you know, audible cue of when that snap comes, and you're not really in sync as an offensive line. Man, that can really put that defensive line at an advantage. It certainly takes away any advantage the offensive line has in terms of knowing the snap count and things of that nature.
No, no question about it. And speaking of thinking ahead to this weekend, it's going to be a massive one on the recruiting front. The Georgia Bulldogs probably – I don't know, Rusty, if it's fair to say this will be the biggest one, because you've got Texas too, and yeah, they're probably going to be comparable in terms of just star power at these. But there's not really much of a question in my mind. This is the game of the week nationally if you are a top recruit. College Game Day doesn't agree with me, I guess, but but Georgia set to host some of the nation's best this weekend. Any names early on that you've got circled, Rusty?
No, and really, because I know this is going to be a who's who. So as the week goes on, expect all the commits, expect all the, you know, DJ Jacobs, the 2027 five-star that I saw Friday night play for Blessed Trinity. You know, you're going to see, you know, a lot of players in town. The best thing for a night game is you start getting people that could travel. So there'll be some kids that'll come in out of state that will land, you know, Saturday morning or land around lunch and still get there. So, you know, as we dig into that list, and we'll probably put our first list out, I would say Wednesday morning, and we'll just start adding and adding and adding. But I've been doing this long enough to know all three of us have covered recruiting at one time. I've been doing this long enough to know that will be a who's who. There will be players committed elsewhere that will be there, and it's a great opportunity for Georgia to kind of showcase their program, their environment. This is why you come to Georgia. I expect it to be as strong as anything. I'm sure Texas, you know, obviously will be another game too, but yeah, this will be a who's who in recruiting world.
No, yeah, it's going to be stupid this weekend.
One thing that will come from this though, Rusty, and we've talked about this, is you'll know one thing, the only thing we'll know come Sunday, win or lose, draw, whatever, is we'll know exactly who Georgia's still trying to flip in this 2026 class. Yeah. You know, that'll be evident by the time Jeremy Johnson rolls down there with that camera and starts picking off faces that are in the stands for in that recruiting section.
Yeah. That's you know, and I'll say this, they went and saw a – appreciate it, Tony. I do have a cold. I sound worse than I am, but I do have a cold. I don't know where the hell it came from. I woke up Friday morning like, what in the hell is going on? So kind of mute here. Georgia did go see a committed elsewhere prospect in the 26th class on Friday, and I don't think the prospect wants it out. But there's some of that going on, and there'll be some 26 there. There'll be some 26 kids committed. other places that will definitely be there. You'll kind of know there's still communication going on there. And, you know, it's always those ones where, you know, we don't know about it. And then that kid shows up and then that site hits us up and goes, hey, y'all heard anything about our, you know, this kid coming in? We're like, no, we just saw him at the game tonight, you know? So it's one of those deals.
Yeah. We end up yelling at each other behind the scenes. Why didn't you give me a heads up? You
know? Yeah. Get the story together. Get right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, it's always fun. And look, it's like I said, it's going to be star studded. I'm sure they'll break out the celebrities. Maybe, hell, Jordan Davis may run all the way back to Athens after that return kick.
Did you see that?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. If you haven't watched that, go look it up.
Did they ever have the angle where you could kind of see how fast he was traveling? Like, they ever have the angle that gave you a good look? Because the only thing I ever saw was the end zone, and all I saw was number 90 booking it. And I know he can move, but I want to – it's fun to see how that big move.
So they said the GPS 18, number on it was over 18 miles an hour.
18.59, the fastest player over 330 since 2017. I'd like to see who that damn player was. But, yeah. You know, man, what a and Jalen Carter had blocked a kick earlier in the game. So wow.
Oh, and shout out to John Fitzpatrick with a touchdown today, man. The old blocking tight end gets himself in.
They must just charge that kid's lithium ion battery.
And he no doubt. I wish Mike Bowers would score me a touchdown. That's no doubt as well. Guys, it's Sunday, and we got a long way to go.
Yeah. I just want to get this one more thing before we get out of here. You know, just, you know, it's early. Nobody's going to hold us to it. We got a chance to change our mind as the week goes on. This matchup, I just wanted to get us all on record for a little bit of a Sunday lean here.
I'm breaking up.
Hey, I'll go ahead and start, man. I do like Georgia in this game. I don't like Georgia big. I don't like Georgia bigger than the experts think. Now, I'm not going to Lee Corso it the other day. By the way, I saw that little documentary thing they did the other day, and I shed a tear or two, man. Like, yeah. I actually got a little emotional watching that. That was pretty crazy, especially with a dad who had a stroke back in February. You know, knowing Lee Corso coming back from that, it's just, I mean, I don't know, man. It's he was never kind of the most, I don't know, the most, he never really struck you as this big time expert, but man, he stoked up.
He was the most entertaining.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately, I don't think Georgia's just going to go out there and put it on Alabama. Not necessarily. I certainly don't expect the score to look that way. But, man, coming back home, I just don't think Georgia's going to let Alabama break this streak. They've broken three of them already. They broke the overall win streak at 39 games. They broke the road win streak at however many games that was. They broke the regular season win streak in however many games that was. That all happened last year. Now Georgia gets a chance to kind of extend one against Alabama. And I like their chances. I really do. And I think – as the week goes on, especially as those kind of sharp bettors getting in there at the end of the week, I suspect that Georgia will get some action from those. You know, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, you can be a great bettor and win 58% of the time. But I think that as the week goes along, you'll see that line kind of trickle up a little bit before kickoff.
I'm leaning Georgia. He 33 games in a row. It's been a tough place to play. And, you know, I just think that I think this is a – I'm leaning Georgia. It's a game if you go either way. We're going to talk about it all week. This is a grown-ass man game. Don't beat around the bush with it. Both programs need it in every possible way. I do think if Alabama loses this game, you know, they finished September with two losses. You know what I mean? So they have not much wiggle room to get to their ultimate goal. But
you got eight straight games with their backs against the wall at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. If Georgia were to lose this game, you know, it would suck, but they still have plenty of opportunity to get to where they want to get to where they want to go. So I just think that, you know, there's a lot of pressure on both teams, but Georgia for the streak wise and Alabama, like, they can't take another loss. So, I think Britton Clark. I think I saw Britton Clark on Friday. I think I met him on Friday at Blessed Trinity. and USA saw Kirby Friday night. So, yeah, he was relaxed. He was having a good time cutting it up and was trying to film me while I was on TV. So I don't know what he was. he was having a good time of seeing me on TV standing behind. That's a little distraction when your damn coach is there making fun of your game day set. So, but we had a good time. Bruce, good to meet you, man. I think he's an Eagles fan. He's a member of Dogs HQ. So appreciate you introducing yourself. His daughter had a little daughter had a Fly Eagles Fly shirt on. So she's all in on the Philly Dogs. So hell of a day for those guys. Appreciate you introducing yourself the other night.
It's Sunday, and I'm going to say that I'm going to say what I said against Tennessee. To me, a lot of people were, you know, saying, oh, this Tennessee team, whatever. And Tennessee got close. Don't get me wrong. Georgia's just got to prove it to me that they can do it before I can start picking that way. That's ultimately where I land with it. I'm not saying that Georgia can't win this game, and I'm not saying Georgia won't win this game, but I have a hard time picking Georgia to win this game until they're able to get over that hump. a wise man once said, is it worse to have an elephant on your back than a monkey? I believe he asked Jeremy Pruitt that one time. And shout out to Bo Page. We miss you, buddy. And but you know, it's a big this is an undertaking, and the pressure is on Georgia. There's absolutely pressure on Alabama for all the reasons you guys mentioned as well. But we all know what the narrative will be coming out of this if Georgia loses this game. And so
last question, Samuel Burson, y'all want to answer that one?
Oh, yeah. Will Dogs HQ be at Redstone Saturday? Yes, we will. 10:30, you can be out for the show. Come watch Jake fight the tent and put it up while he puts it up. But like I said,
I'm getting in a fight with a biscuit too. So,
yeah, I may change things up. I may change my mind by the time game picks go in. But I think that I want to see Georgia do it. Chris says they've shown you they can do it in the NC, so it's not exactly the same as Tennessee. One we're in is proving it can happen. I don't disagree with that necessarily, but Georgia has had this has been the boogeyman, like I said. So, and also to an old friend of mine once said, "Look, just pick against them, and if they win, then nobody will be upset." So, it's kind of hedging your bets a little bit.
Hey, the number one thing I can guarantee both of you, more than anything else, more than the sun will come up. If they lose this game, my man Chris has nailed it right here. Oh, man, fans will be claiming the world is ending and the season. It'll take a little while to get over that. By the end of the next bye week, they'll be over it. But, yeah, if Georgia finds a way to lose this game on Saturday, it won't be pretty for us over at Dawes HQ, but I guarantee you one thing, we'll be there. We'll be there.
Yep.
Yeah. Come hang out with the Whipping Boys either way. We'll be over there to take all your comments, all your questions. Guys, big week on tap. Huge. We got you covered wire to wire on everything. Recruiting, team, all of it. We'll be back with you this week for another edition of the Georgia Show for sure. And we can't wait to continue to break this one down. Get over, hang out on the boards with us over at the Dog Walk at Dogs HQ as well. Big one here. Let's do it. Hop on in. We'll see you soon.